thank you for your presence here, Lord God. I pray that you would guide me as I speak your word, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I cling to you. Guide me, teach whatever you want to teach. We trust in your leadership this morning, Lord God. And I pray that you would anoint every set of hearts and ears, Lord God, Father, to receive, Lord God, the word that is for them this day, Lord God, that they will be transformed forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here we go. So anyway, this is always a special time of the year because we enter the holidays, and it does kick off with Thanksgiving, like we just said. It's a time to remember all that God has done in our lives. Come on, we cannot forget. You know, this year has been packed. And if you really go back and look at our calendar or look at the pictures on Facebook, that's a good way to do it, Pastor. You just go to Facebook and you go like, oh, January. Oh, we did that. Oh, yeah, we did it. God has done so many amazing things throughout the year. It's hard to even remember. And sometimes we get into a pity party and all we need to do is we just need to praise the Lord. We need to thank the Lord for what he has done. If you remember recently, we studied about a word in the Hebrew that translates into praise, and that is Toda. And one of the meanings of Toda is it means sacrifices of thanksgiving. Come on. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I just want to tell you, no matter what the situation is, part of God's antidote for stress and anxiety is to fill your mouth with thanksgiving. Before you fill your mouth with tryptophan, fill your mouth with some thanksgiving. Come on. No matter what you're going through, you can praise and thank your way into a place of exuberant joy. Come on. Just the other night, my wife and I were very tired after a long day. This was this week. It was late. We were in bed, and we've been trying to pray every night, you know, together before we go to bed. And it's one of those where, like, we just want to close our eyes and forget stuff, you know, and let that be our healing, you know. So we didn't have much in the tank to pray. But we decided to do this, to alternate thanksgivings. And this is what we did. I said, I'm going to say one thing I'm thankful for. And then you're going to say one thing you're thankful for. And we'll do it over and over and over and over and over. And we did that until we just felt the presence of God fall upon us and refresh us. Come on. Every time you're feeling down, all you need to do is just begin to thank the Lord. Begin to count your blessings. Begin to remember all that he has brought you from. You know, surely you're in a better place than you could be. You know, come on. Have you forgotten where he saved you from? Come on. That you have freedoms? Hallelujah. Yes, you could be better. You know, nobody's as free as God intends them to be. We're all in the process, but come on, we cannot forget where he's brought us from. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So just to also remind you, let's make this week about family. Let's make it about resting. And also make it about stopping and thinking about all that the Lord has done for us. Just, you know, before, you know, you just dive in into the tryptophan-laden food and the pies and into the football games, maybe you need to say, you know, hold on, guys. Let's just take a second and thank the Lord, you know, and then dive into the food, okay, right after that, you know, but don't forget, you know, to make it about the right things. You know, don't let Black Friday rob you of your Thanksgiving. You know, as soon as you finish your meal, start diving into the deals. Come on. Take a second, thank the Lord, and then go to your shopping. All right, shopping is good, but, you know, let's keep it in perspective. Hallelujah. You know, and also, when you're praying, I just recommend hold hands. It's important so that no one reaches for the rolls. It's, you know, while you're closing your eyes, you know. And for unity, too, you know, it helps. All right, time to move on. So here we go. So for the next 25 minutes, I want to talk to you about how God has a series of impending encounters for our life. I've titled this message, An Impending Encounter. And the reason is that God sets up meetings with us to get us to the next level. Even to introduce himself to us, we think that, You know, I'm out there searching for something, but the fact is that God is looking for us. There was a song we used to sing here. We used to sing it quite a bit. It was made famous by a British band called Delirious. And it was called I Found Jesus. I found Jesus. You know, really peppy song. I loved it. But I always struggle with the fact, it's like, did I really find Jesus or did he find me? I think it's the other way around. You know, it may have looked like I found Jesus, but he's the one that went out of his way to find me. Come on. Hallelujah. So today, I'm starting with point number one. God encounters us for salvation. God encounters us for salvation. Hallelujah. And I want to read from Luke chapter 19, you know, about a man who had an encounter with God that changed his life forever. Hallelujah. It says here in Luke 19 verses 1 through 10, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. They didn't like Zacchaeus very much. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, because he saw in his heart that there was change, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. We talked about the seed of Abraham, that Jesus and through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, now he was a true son of Abraham. He was a Hebrew before, but he wasn't really a son of faith until that moment. And it says, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Come on. And all of us may look down a little bit on Zacchaeus, but all of us have a Zacchaeus in us. All of us are in a similar situation. He represents us well. Hallelujah. And so this is no doubt towards the end of Jesus' ministry. Since we see this, obviously, 19th chapter. And in the preceding chapter, he had told his disciples, hey, it's time to head to Jerusalem. You know, right before he was going to go to the cross, Jesus said, hey, let's go to Jerusalem. And Jericho was on the way. Zacchaeus, the short man we hear here, we read here, has heard of Jesus' fame and wanted to see if it was true what they had said about him. Well, it may look that it was Zacchaeus' initiative, like I was telling you. It was God who was setting up an encounter, an impending encounter with Zacchaeus to bring salvation to him. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise. Come on, this is for somebody here, as some count slackness. You think, when is he coming back? When is the second coming? When is the rapture? When is all that going to happen? But God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is going to come back when the full number of people that are supposed to come in have come in. And if you're not in that number, then you need to be counted. You need to give your life to Jesus. God has brought you here to have an encounter with him to salvation. And like I was saying, Zacchaeus represents us well because so many things that worked against them. All of us feel like, hey, you know, we're far behind everybody. We're behind the power curve. Everybody hates us. You know, I was born into this situation. You know, you don't know what happened to me. You know, everything is against me. Well, Zacchaeus had a lot of things going against them. First of all, he was a short man. All right, and it was significant enough that they put it in the scripture. This short man was so short that he had to climb up a tree to see Jesus. You know, and all of us have things in our lives that mark us and make us stand out in some way. Often they are physical, the things that we don't like about ourselves. Sometimes it's our past. Other times our personality. You wish you could be like somebody else. Either way, there are shortcomings that we have to live with. We wish that it was different. Second of all, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Not just a tax collector, but says he was the chief tax collector. You know, and if you didn't know, tax collectors weren't well liked because they actually worked for the Roman government. They collected the money for them. And oftentimes they cheated their very own people out of money. So it says that he had become wealthy. How did he become wealthy? Well, by serving the Roman government, but also by taking a little bit of extra. And we know about it because it says, if I've cheated someone of their money, you know, then it's, I'm going to restitute it. Yeah, I'm going to pay it back. It says more times. So he was hated by his fellow Jews. He was not well liked. Number three, he lived in Jericho, a place of curse. When Jericho was destroyed by Joshua, they placed a curse on it. It says, curses the man who rebuilds the city. It was a place of curse. But you know what? Somebody rebuilt the city, and a curse fell on them. You know, so there's some of us that are living with curses in our lives. Things that we don't understand why things just seem to go wrong. You know, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, money just slips through our fingers, or we have continuous health issues, or we're dealing with anxiety. You know, you don't know that you're dealing with the demonic. You're dealing with against, you know, spiritual oppression in your life. You know, and so Zacchaeus, you know, represents that type of living. And last thing, you know, Zacchaeus wasn't living what he was designed to be. Zacchaeus in the Greek actually means pure. But he wasn't pure. And so that represents a person who has been designed by God to live a certain way, but is not. How many of us are not living the life that we're supposed to be living? But when the anointing of God begins to stir your heart and hope begins to rise within you, and you begin to believe that Jesus can be, maybe, could it be the answer to my situation? And that's what happened with Zacchaeus. He had heard of this Jesus. And he said, let me see if this is true. You know, and he was so interested that he said, even though I can't see him because of my shortcomings, even though my situations are, you know, telling me to just quit, to give up, I'm going to do whatever I have to get a glimpse of Jesus. Because maybe he is the answer to all of my problems. So Zacchaeus did. Hallelujah. There were people along the road, maybe religious people who had free access to him. Maybe they had already lined up on the road and he just couldn't get through. He's like, where is Jesus? But because he was so sure, he had to make the extra effort. So he climbed a sycamore tree and there it happened. He locked eyes with Jesus. He locked eyes with Jesus. Jesus had been sent by the Father to Jericho, to the place of curse, to the place where this man who had not lived up to his name, of purity, the man had only found worth in his money and possessions, to the man of shame, and he said, get down from there. Get down from your situation. You don't have to go up a tree anymore. Hallelujah. Because I went up a tree once and for all, you don't have to go up the tree anymore. Come on. And I paid for all your sin and your shame and your curses. And I want to stay in your house. I want your heart. So Zacchaeus received them and everything changed. God had an impending encounter for Zacchaeus to restore him to relationship. And Zacchaeus repented. He did it the biblical way. In the Old Testament, the Bible says if you rob someone, if you stole an ox, you had to restitute five. You took one, you had to give up five. If you stole one sheep, you had to give up four. That's a mark of repentance. The Bible says, have fruit in keeping with repentance. If your children repent, there should be some behavioral changes in your life. Hallelujah. But right away, Zacchaeus began to make him and says, if I've taken anything, I'm not just going to pay their money back. I'm going to give them, you know, four times past that. Because I want you, God. I don't care about the wealth anymore. This is what I was looking for. I thought I could fill it with wealth. I thought that would be my identity. I thought this would satisfy the needs of my soul. But no, I see that. No, Jesus, you are the reason. So God knows your address, and you're not here by chance. If you're here, then you need to do whatever you need to do to see Jesus clearly. You got to climb a tree if you have to. You need to cry out to Him. You need to get His attention. You need to lock eyes with Him, and salvation will come to you. He's going to break curses off of you and restore you to your design. You were called to purity. You were called to being righteous. Come on. Jesus said, "For this man too is a son of Abraham. Today he can truly be called Zacchaeus, the pure man, the pure man." Hallelujah. "Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven." I'm telling you, there's nothing that will satisfy your soul like knowing that the God of the universe has no qualms with you, that He has forgiven every sin. He says, "Come on, let's make amends. If anybody has sin as red and nasty as the worst kind of sin, I'm going to make you white as snow." Come on. Hallelujah. So that brings me to point number two. God encounters us for transformation. He encounters us for transformation. The fact is that even after salvation, we continue to live with some hang-ups. We still have some stinking thinking, don't we? And these things act like thieves who have your garage code. You leave for the day, and they go in there like, and they go right into your house. It's like, nice television. And they steal from you. You think you left it shored up, but somehow things are just stealing your peace and stealing your joy and stealing your relationships. Why? Because God needs to transform your life. Come on. That is why Romans chapter 2 says we must be renewed in our minds. We must renew in our minds. This is where we first claim the victory, in our minds. When we begin to see things like God sees them. When we begin to see things like they're seen in heaven. Come on, we need to have a heavenly mind. Some lessons we just don't learn until God sets us up. We have to have an encounter. We have to have a crisis situation. He pushes us into the corner, into a moment of crisis when we run out of excuses. We run out of our own means. And we run out of someone to blame. Let me say that again. He's going to push you to a place where you run out of excuses. Maybe later, God. Or you don't know where I've come from. You don't know what they did to me. You got to run out of your own means. Your own ability to get out of the situation. He says, "I'm going to make the situations just right. I'm going to design it just right for you. You're not going to be able to blame anyone else. This is all you. This is going to single you out." You will never have lasting transformation until you own it. You got to own it. Sure, they've harmed you. But you have had choices. And you've made bad choices. So Zacchaeus owned up. He stopped blaming someone else. He didn't blame it on the Romans. He didn't blame it on the people. He didn't blame it on his parents. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Don't blame your mother and father. Don't blame your teachers. Don't blame the government. Jesus said, "If you're free of sin, cast the first stone." Go ahead. I'm waiting. But when you really look into his eyes, man, there's something the Spirit of God will do. The Bible says that Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you know, sometimes you're at home and you're feeling fine, nothing wrong, but then you come into the presence of God, you come to church, and you're like, man, I feel yucky. I feel like something's wrong. Like, I feel shame. And He begins to remind you, remember the way you treated your wife? Remember the things that you said this week? That is not me. Remember that sin that you've been keeping from me? Come on. Zacchaeus was living in a place of sin, shame, and curse, but Jesus came to see him. Jesus came to see him. Come on. Jesus made the effort. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you ever think that you're something special, outside of what God's done in your life, there's something wrong. You need to reevaluate things. Come on. He has placed value on your life, and He has, you know, gifted you and made opportunities for you and blessed you in so many ways to bless other people and to have jobs and fame and this and that. But you know what? You need to give all the glory to Him. Don't get intoxicated by the blessings that God gives you. Always, you know, turn all the glory to Him. Come on. Hallelujah. God came to save that which was lost. And others may have hurt you, but you've hurt yourself. So you got to own up. So there was another man who represents someone in the scripture who is saved. You know, I'm going to talk about people who are now saved. You know, because I'm going to talk about a specific man. But this man had a deep need of transformation. This man was Jacob, the son of Isaac, and the grandson of Abraham. He was a man who God pronounced blessing on him, but he was still trying to live his life his way. Like Frank Sinatra, but I did it my way, right? Well, your way only goes so far. God wants you to rest from striving, trying to make things happen. You know, one of the curses placed on Cain after killing his brother Abel was one, that he was going to be a wanderer, and the second, that he was going to be restless. A restless wanderer. And some of us have just restlessness in our hearts. Our souls are just constantly inundated by restlessness. We can't have peace in our mind. You know why? Because we're trying to make things happen and trying to fix things and trying to get ahead in life, you know, by our own means, not knowing that God has already placed His name upon us and we are blessed. And we are blessed. He has called us blessed. But we have to learn that. We're not born knowing that, hey, God's just going to lay out our blessings before us. So we try to make things happen. Jacob, whose name means supplanter, was good at cheating people to get his way. He conned his brother, he conned his father, and he conned his uncle on different occasions. But God's eye was already on him. So God orchestrated a situation for him, tailored just for him. So while he was fleeing from his uncle, his brother came out to meet him. And you know what? Our past just catches up to us, doesn't it? He had conned his uncle, and he's trying to flee from his uncle. And he had conned his brother, and his brother's coming to meet him. You know, it's like a bad lie. You know, you have a lie to cover another lie, but eventually there's a day of reckoning. How are you going to fix this now? You know, so he was caught between a rock and a hard place. God had made a situation where he was like, I got to reevaluate my life at this moment because I think I'm going to die. He was sure his brother Esau was going to kill him. He was sure, hey, this is it. I'm going to pay, you know, for stealing his firstborn rights. He didn't know that God was in this. And you know what? You can leave town. You can change your name. But what you sow, you will reap. Come on. God wants to discipline His children because He wants to, you know, use you. But He has to get rid of this shenanigans from your lifestyle. He had left a trail of wrong relationships. Behind him was his uncle and in front of him was his brother. And he was running from both of them. So to make matters short, this is the day that he would surrender his life to God. I'm going to no longer live my way. I'm going to live God's way. And we see it in Genesis 32, verses 26 to 28. It says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. This is, you know, the angel of the Lord, which we later find out, you know, is Jesus in the Old Testament. Come on. And he's struggling with Jesus. He says, but he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. God, I'm in a situation right now. I'm in a place in my life where I cannot let you go. If I let you go, I'm going to die. So do whatever you do with my life, but I belong to you. I'm not going to try to make it, you know, on my own. I'm not going to try to connive my way into things. I just want to do it your way. I belong to you. Whatever you want for my life, God. And all of us need to come to the realization that we cannot strive with God. Hallelujah. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob, which remember means supplanter. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. You're going to be the Prince of God. For you have struggled. You have wrestled with God and with men, but you have prevailed. Today I'm writing everything. I'm changing everything. And the Bible tells us that after that struggle with God, that, you know, Jacob's hip, you know, came out of the socket. And he had a limp. And he had a limp. You know what? When you've struggled with God, when you've come to the end of yourself, there's a limp of sorts in your life. People can tell, man, that guy, he's been with God. He walks differently. He talks differently. He acts differently. I can tell it's not about him any longer, but I see God all over him. I see God all over her. When will you stop striving? God wants you to transform you and change your name, but he has to take you to the end of yourself. So he's going to set up an impending encounter that causes you to, you know, cling to him like never before. But I want to say, you do have a choice in it. Zacchaeus had a choice. Jacob had a choice. What choice are you going to make today? God wants to meet with you today. From that day, Jacob was named Israel. And he had the limp. It's like a branding. I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Beyond salvation, God will use circumstances. It will not just be once, because it may happen at other times in your life. You know, I know we would like to be broken just once, you know, like a horse. But even horses get wild if you don't ride them for a while. So God has to come back and ride you for, you know, once again, you know, and break you again. You know, sometimes we begin to try to make things happen. Hallelujah. And that's the point where you surrender. Not my will be done, Lord, but yours. I belong to you. And that brings me to point number three. And I'm close to finishing. God encounters us for redirection. Every one of us had a moment of decision where we saw Jesus clearly like Zacchaeus and we received salvation, number one. But then we progress and we stop striving and we learn to live by his grace with sonship and by his spirit. We're no longer trying to get ahead on our own like Jacob. But after that, God will use encounters sometimes to redirect our lives because somehow we miss the turn. We get off on the wrong exit. We start going in the wrong direction. You know, there's things in our heart that God still has to deal with. Come on. And Jonah was a man that needed an encounter with God to redirect him. If you've ever read that, I recommend it. It's four short chapters. Read Jonah, you know, when you go home. Come on. Even though he was a prophet of God, come on, he was a prophet of God. This is a man who heard from God. He had a strong relationship with God, but something happened in him. There was areas in his heart that needed to be dealt with. Instead of heading to Nineveh of the Assyrians to save souls, he said, no way, I'm going the other way. So God put him on a three-day journey into the belly of a fish to reconsider things. Come on. If you read Jonah 2, it says that he cried out to God and repented, and God made the fish spit him out on shore. And Jonah chapter 2 tells us of this story, this communication, this dialogue between God, where you can see the surrendering, the breaking, you know, the redirection of Jonah happening right there. He says, okay, God, not my way, but your way. So I'm going to read Jonah chapter 3, verse 3, immediately after that. Just simply says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. And I'm just going to stop right there. He had been redirected. All right, we're done with that lesson, God. I'm ready to move on what you have for me. Many of us have been called by God to save souls, but somehow we're running from it. I don't know if it scares you. If you feel unequipped, and this is one that gets a lot of us, sometimes we lack compassion for people. Sometimes we lack compassion. Some people, by personality-wise, are more compassionate than others. But the compassion I'm talking about comes through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He will give you a love and a patience, you know, in a compassion for people around you. Where you say, you know what? I don't care if they look at me weird. I don't care if they think I'm being uncool. You know, I'm going to tell them about the love of Jesus. I'm going to step out and love on them. And I'm going to share the gospel with them. Come on. God needs to redirect us because we've grown complacent. I think many of us, when was the last time we invited someone to church or to a connection group? Or we say, hey, I want to invite you to have some coffee so I can share what God has done in my life. Have you gotten too busy? God wants to have an encounter with you today to redirect your life. God has called us to save that which was lost. Come on. But you know what? If you ask God, He will equip you. He has. Every time I've asked God, God, I feel so ill-equipped for this particular thing. He'll send someone, or He'll send a program, He'll send a training event, He'll send something to equip me. I said, God, I lack compassion. I just don't feel a heart for this people. You know, if you want me to go after them, then you need to touch my heart. And He'll start working in my heart. And I begin to see them differently. It's like He gets me to see the people from His perspective. Do you see how much I love them? Can you love them that way? Okay, God, you're right. Come on. If you ask God, He will direct you. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. God wants an encounter with you today so He can redirect you. You're wasting time. You know, you're treading in the wrong places. Come on. God wants to bless you. The Bible says, seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all those things will be added. All the things you dreamt about, He will give to you. You know, the more I serve God, the more He blesses me. I no longer look at the blessing. It just comes. It just comes. We are blessed. My wife and I, we're so blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. Why? Because we made it a point to focus on what God wants for our lives. And everything is just being added. Yeah, there's times where we have an overabundance, and there's times where maybe not as much. But you know what? We've never lacked a thing. God knows my desires in my heart. I said, God, I'd like to have a baby. I'd like to have a baby, a son. You know what? And He gave me a son. You know what? He knows the desires of your heart. He's your daddy. He's your Abba. He will provide for you. You need not strive or be restless or try to make things happen. Walk in the peace of God and the knowledge that He is your Lord. Come on. Some of us had a hard time worshiping this morning because we were thinking about something we had to do. Instead of being here in the moment, say, what am I here? I'm here to worship God. I'm here to praise the Lord. I'm here to give Him my everything. And you know what? I praise the Lord not based on my feelings. Sometimes I don't feel it, but I know. I live by what I know. I know by what the Scripture says, and He is worthy to be praised. And He's still in control even when I feel things are in disarray. Sometimes things are clear. The vision is like clear. I say, God, I see exactly where You want me to go. And sometimes there's a haze. It's like, God, I'm not really sure what You're trying to do here in my life. And I just hunker down and I see God. And I look up and it's still hazy. Kind of like the prophet Elijah. You know, he's looking down. Do you see a cloud? No, I'm going to go back and pray. And sometimes it's like that. It says, oh yeah, I see a cloud. It's a tiny little, you know, cloud by the size of a hand. It says, okay, God's on the way. God's on the way. That's all I needed. Just a little confirmation. Hallelujah. Only an encounter with the living God can save you, transform you, bring restoration to you, and redirect you. And I think He's tugging at your heart right now. He's seeking an audience with you. Zacchaeus, get down from there. I want to go to your house. I want to go to your house. You know, I don't know if this message is for every person, but I know it's for someone here. And God is saying, today is the day to surrender to Me. A personal encounter with Him that will change everything forever. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I have just a couple lasting thoughts that I want to share with you. We happen to have these retreats that we're going to be beginning at the end of March called an Encounter Retreat. And we're going to make them available for everyone. You know, we're in the planning stages right now. We think it's going to be the 29th of March or so. And before that, there's like a preparation for it. We call it the pre-encounter. And it's just to get you ready, you know, to have a weekend retreat where you say, you know, I'm going to set aside, you know, a weekend to just spend it with God and see what God has for my life. And I want to tell you that God has reserved a spot for some of you here. You know, and I hope that everyone, many of you have already been to an encounter retreat. I know we've done them in the past, but God has told us to bring them back. So you're going to be hearing about them in the days to come. This is part of the vision of discipleship. You know, we believe that there's four basic stages to the life of a believer. Number one, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to have an encounter for salvation. Number two, you need to be connected to the body of Christ. And the encounter retreat is part of that connection process. We believe that everyone needs to, you know, just have some areas of their life ministered to. We talk heavily about the cross, heavily about repentance, about forgiveness, and those basic things. And you know what? When you come out of those retreats, you feel so clean, so new, so special, and you're ready to move on with God for your life. The next step is discipleship, is where you really begin to, you know, dig down into the Word and make it a part of you. And you begin to look up to mentors and coaches and leaders, just like Jesus led his disciples for 3.5 years. And then, you know, after that, now you can be deployed wherever God may have you. Some of you to become, you know, small group leaders. Some of you to go in the mission field. Some of you to preach. Some of you, you know, to be great business leaders and to use that anointing and influence that God has given you to reach souls in the marketplace. You know, there's so many places for you to be used. But you know what? You have to go through the process. You have to go through the process. And but it all starts with an encounter for salvation. And then an encounter for transformation.